podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Heller, and today we're going to be talking about God's mission here in some places that occur in communities just like yours. We are blessed to have with us Pastor Jeff Neert with us. He works with Prison Ministry in Southern Illinois District. So welcome, Pastor Neert. It's great for you to be with us today. Can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in prison ministry.
Well, thank you very much, Brian, for allowing me to be here. And it will be a joy to share prison ministry and how that all developed in my life. I guess the first thing I would like to say is that God works in mysterious ways. My grandparents gave me a book by David Wilkerson called Crossing the Switchblade. And there's something in there that I read that just struck me. It's when David Wilkerson was threatened by a gang member, and he said, "You can cut me into 1,000 pieces, and every one of those pieces would say to you, Jesus forgives you and loves you." And that just struck me. But not until I was on my exit interview did anyone ever ask me about prison ministry.
Sure.
And during my exit interview, the last question was asked, "Have you ever considered prison ministry?" And one of the things that came right to my mind was a text that I read during the time at the seminary that was from the pastor prayer book that was given to us as SEM students. And this prayer says, "I remember those in prison. They too need compassion and renewal as well as punishment and imprisonment. You command us to visit them and work with them. Where we have failed in this grim area of life, forgive us and grant us new opportunity to bring Christ's love and hope to those who have no freedom." Mm-hmm. And that just struck me when that question was asked. And I looked right at the pastor who asked me that question, and I said, "I know I can do prison ministry." And after I had picked my wife up and put her back on the chair, yeah. Sure. it was God's work. And Southern Illinois District, my call was to serve our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois, and Southern Illinois District's prison ministry. So it was a dual call. And from that point on, I've been serving both calls since 1993.
Since 1993. Thank you so much for that service, especially in that such a unique but much needed ministry field. So you told us a little bit about how you got involved in prison ministry, you know, what brought you to that. How about now? How do you serve? Where do you serve in God's mission here? Are you still serving at the same place? Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm still serving the Federal Correctional Institute in Greenville, both the men's and the women's do services there.
Yeah.
And I'm also working with what they call Life Connections program for helping men and who are looking at getting out and kind of restructuring their life. I'm also serving as a coordinator for Southern Illinois District Prison Ministry, helping districts are not districts having congregations and men who want to be involved in prison ministry. Been doing that a lot before COVID. But since COVID's hit, things have changed in prison ministry.
Sure.
A lot less opportunity to go in there. I was going in once a week, and now doing services, it's maybe twice a month because they have a rotation and a limited amount of time. So right now I'm working in helping with the Southern Illinois District create a pilot program called Reaching In, which is a program where we try to develop mentors in Southern Illinois District. And through an anonymous process, there is a relationship that's developed through the mail. And using different resources, helping that relationship develop in a growing in the Word of God while they're incarcerated.
Sure.
So that's kind of really the role I'm following right now.
Yeah, and we'll get a little bit more into that program as we go along. I'm sure our listeners also are very interested to see what that looks like and maybe how they can get involved as well. To begin with, though, just kind of set the stage for this. How, in your experience, in you know, through your insight and things like that, how are prisons a mission field?
Well, the mission fields are vast because you've got the inmates themselves, those who are incarcerated, and they're limited, but they're exposed. They're exposed to all this different ideas, religions, and what we see around us in our world where we can get away from it, they can't. It's in their face.
Yeah.
So also the families of those who are incarcerated, there is a mission field for reaching out to them. And then there's also the staff that are taking care of these men and women who are incarcerated. So every time you go in with, God, use me to touch one more person with the knowledge that Jesus Christ has died for their sins, whether they've forgotten it or they've never known it. Use me as that instrument.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing just about maybe some of those things that we don't often think about when it comes to how prisons can be a mission field for the gospel to be shared. So in light of that, what are some ways that congregations can bring mercy to these inmates?
Well, it's great that you use the word mercy. I remember when we had our first prison conference that was synod-wide, and at that time, Matt Harrison, who is now our president, Matt Harrison, was our speaker that we had for the conference. And he talked about how prison ministry was a mission of mercy, because there's very little chance the people that you are witnessing to the good news of Jesus Christ will be in your congregation.
Yes.
Especially in the federal correction, because they come from all over.
Sure.
So mercy is bringing them what they don't have or have forgotten, and that is that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and he wants them to know that. And congregations can support that in people who are doing prison ministry if they don't have a prison ministry in their area, or they can get involved in different ways by sending out cards, writing letters, developing for areas that have a lot of prisons, maybe a family reaching out to families of those who are incarcerated.
Yeah.
We did that in Greenville for a long time when the camp was no longer a men's camp, but it was a woman's camp. And that was one of the things that we developed with that. So there's a lot of different ways congregations can be involved. Even if you don't have a prison in your area, there's ways you can get involved.
Yeah, no, and I love how you brought up, too, about how there's opportunities to care for and love and extend mercy to the family members of these inmates. So oftentimes they may be forgotten, not intentionally, but just overlooked in that process. So thank you so much for highlighting that, too, and the importance of sharing the love of Christ with them as well, who will also be undergoing hurt and pain and suffering and things like that.
And most people don't realize that the impact that it just kind of like a domino effect, it just keeps going on and on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we talked about how congregations can share mercy to inmates, their families. What about lay people? How can they share the love of Christ with inmates and on an individual level?
Well, probably the best opportunity for that is financial support.
Sure.
Praying for those who are incarcerated, for those who serve in that area, and then getting involved in a prison ministry that might be supported by Lutheran Women's Missionary League, the Lutheran Braille Workers. Those organizations produce material that actually help us do prison ministry. So when you're supporting LWML or you're supporting Lutheran Braille Workers, you're supporting prison ministry in a sense. Or you can get in touch with your district representative. maybe its mission and say, I would like to develop or see what's going on in prison ministry in our district. And if you have a heart for that, start out with questions to your mission board in the district and see what they can line up with and help you in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many great resources out there for both congregations and laity to extend that love of Christ. LCMS Prison Ministry, as you know, Pastor Nert, that has developed a partnership with Concordia Publishing House to develop what's called the Prison Ministry Kit, which is an abridged version of the Lutheran Service Book, a small catechism, an ESV Bible, and a little devotional that highlights and explains some of these hymns for these inmates. And what's really cool, though, is Concordia Publishing House made sure that the binding of these books were the proper binding so that they could get into the prisons. Because a lot of people think about, you know, all the different restrictions on the materials and publications that can go into prisons. And that's why organizations that you've highlighted that do produce those materials, some of the materials I just referenced that go out into prisons, they meet all the requirements. There's no hiccups. It's fantastic. Concordia Publishing House is, you know, gracious enough in this partnership that we can offer this kit for around $15 for all four resources, which is really, really good to get in and just share that love of Christ and also explain the scriptures and the Word of God to them through the catechism, through these hymns, through these devotions.
I'm really glad you said that, Brian, because we just had a conference in April, and we had many people from over half of the districts of our synod was represented. And everybody that received one of those kits were just delighted. Yeah. They couldn't wait to go home and start to see how they can implement that in their prison ministry. Yeah. And just yesterday, when I was at the FCI, I had a gentleman that came up to me, and he said, you know, I talked to you 2 or 3 weeks before you went on your vacation about wanting to be a confirmed member, because my mom's LCMS Lutheran, and I'm not confirmed. Yeah. And he had with me, because I had taken some of those books, he had with him the Lutheran Small Catechism, and he had been reading it, marking it, and inwardly digesting it. Oh, it was such a joy. And so he's looking for me to catechize him, and he will be able to, once he's catechized and prepared, he will be able to take the body and blood of Christ. And he's never done that, and he's so excited. He's so looking forward to that. And thanks to CPH for doing that. It's just a joy that's able to happen.
Oh, God be praised. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's amazing. So good to hear stories like that result from these resources and things like that, and all the hard work that goes into it. So for this conference that you're talking about, Pastor Nierz, I know that it was not only for church workers, those involved, but also lay people. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the learning that happened at the conference, some of the ideas, resources that were presented?
Absolutely. What was really special is that we had people like Lutheran Braille Workers share the material that they make that is not Braille only, but they make a 14-point font material that's bounded so it can go into prisons for free. Once the chaplain signs off on it, they can get this material, the small catechism, the Bible, and several Bible studies that they can do, which a person who is also working with them in a mentoring process can have access. So they both have the same book, working through it through mail in a Bible study way. Also, people who are doing prison ministry in different manners shared those ways that they were doing it. So there was a great exposure to what's available in prison ministry. And we thank the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for giving seed money for that conference to happen, along with many other people who were part of representing that prison conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about that conference. I was there personally as well. Phenomenal event. And definitely for our listeners, be on the lookout for future conferences as they come up. A really great opportunity to learn more about what's going on in prison ministry across the Synod. So we've been talking a lot about folks that are in prisons, inmates, their families, so on and so forth, but we haven't done a lot of talking about what happens when they leave the criminal justice system. What happens when they get out of prison? How can the church serve these inmates, their families, and bring the gospel to them when they're released, when they re-enter into society?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, Brian, because Deaconess Sandy Bowers, who was my first deaconess that I trained in prison ministry, when she was working with the Southern Illinois District as a deaconess, now she's here at the IC.
She is, yes.
Yes, she does great work.
Absolutely.
But while she was at the Southern Illinois District, she put together a manual along with our sainted President Herb Mueller, and they put the manual together called Freed in Christ. It's a leader's manual and a participant manual. And this is a manual that you can use to assimilate a person who's come into your congregation. Maybe it's somebody that you had as a member and they weren't real active, but they created a crime. They got connected again and they want to get back. Now they're coming back to your church. And how do we do that? How do we assimilate that in? Well, the Freed in Christ program is developed so that can happen through the Word of God. And we had this as a pilot program in Southern Illinois District, and it was amazing the result that came out of that. Without going into a long story, there was about four people that were baptized, two of them were children, and the congregation grabbed a hold of that person who was going through this reassimilation into a congregation, and they became brothers and sisters in Christ.
Oh my goodness.
And that's a free material available here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod website under prison ministry. Free material.
Absolutely. So definitely check out those resources that Pastor Nair just referenced there. And it's phenomenal. I've looked through it myself, and it really does a good job of connecting those pieces, as you were saying. And it's all based on the Word of God, which is of utmost importance, and just getting them acclimated, reintegrated into society and into the life of the church, which is awesome. So, Pastor, any final words of wisdom, encouragement for us today?
Think the words of encouragement is from the Word of God itself. While I was in prison, you visited me, and then go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Those two texts give us an insight that the message of the gospel is for all people, even those who are incarcerated, their families, and anyone that's connected to prison system. Also, the fact is that these resources are so available if you just know where to go. So go to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod website under prison ministry and search those resources, because they're phenomenal. If you have any questions, I would be glad to talk to anyone about prison ministry, but you need to text me before you call, because after you're 65, you get all kinds of calls, and I do not accept phone calls I do not know. If it's possible, if you want me to give my phone number, I'll be glad to do that.
Yes, and we can definitely help facilitate, you know, if you got questions for Pastor Nair, we can help facilitate the contact information for him. That way we safeguard your information too. And definitely feel free to reach out to LCMS Prison Ministry too, to if you have follow-up questions or comments or ideas. We always love to hear them. You can contact us at specializedcare@lcms.org. So specializedcare@lcms.org. Or call us 314-996-1386, and we'd love to hear from you. Any other words of encouragement for maybe those that are considering about going, you know, engaging in some type of prison ministry? Anything else?
I would say that if this podcast has touched your heart in any way, that you should follow that up with a phone call to your district to see, is there anything going on in the prison ministry in your district? And if so, follow up with who that person is in charge of prison ministry for that district. If not, you need to follow up with contacting the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Brian Heller, and he will get you in contact with someone as myself or somebody in that district area that can help you, because there's plenty of help if you just call or email.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for those words. Thank you so much for your time, Pastor, and for joining me today as we share about prison ministry with our listeners. And thanks for listening to God's Mission here. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes.
Thank you, Brian.
Yes, thanks again for joining us, listeners. God's Mission here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers these gifts where you live and you serve.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.